Grace to and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have begun almost every sermon I have ever preached with those words, grace to you and peace. It was still the norm when I was in seminary, although no one ever told me that I had to begin a sermon that way. It's like the amen at the end of the sermon. No one ever told me I had to do that either, but there it is. Grace and peace. Today, it seems a bit old-fashioned, a liturgical remnant of a bygone era. But I have begun this time with you in an intentional way, because if you get nothing else from this sermon, you will know that I pray that God's grace will wash over you and God's peace will hug you. Grace to you and peace. Of course, it is not an original phrase. The Apostle Paul uses it as something of a standard greeting in his letters to his synod, those scattered congregations under his care and watchful eye. Our second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. It's the longest letter that he wrote, at least of those that were collected into the New Testament. And it is a rather remarkable letter for us to consider because Paul wrote it himself from Greece in about the year 56, give or take a year or two. And it was not written to a congregation that he had established. Instead, he writes this letter to the whole diverse Christian community in Rome. In addition to the four Gospels, there is probably no writing in the New Testament that has been more influential on Christian thought than Romans. In fact, in it, Luther found those central themes of his theology: justification, faith, and grace, hallmarks of our theology today. Paul begins, "To all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." By the time Paul gets to chapter 12, that's our numbering, not his, he's exhorting Christians, both then and today, to live a holy life. What does that holy life look like? Paul describes it as one that is totally consumed by love, a love that is genuine. In the middle of last month, my wife was in the hospital for 4 days. Her roommate for two of those days was an elderly woman who was extremely hard of hearing and suffering from some form of mild dementia. It was easy to determine those two conditions, even with the curtain drawn, by just sitting in the same room for a few minutes. One of her sons, a man about my age, came to visit her while I was there. The conversation was, by necessity, very loud and quite repetitious. Part of the conversation made me uncomfortable, if not angry. The man made almost every mistake you can make when speaking to someone who is disoriented. I knew from the experience that we'd had with my own mother how I would have handled the conversation differently. Of course, that's an unfair criticism. I have no idea what that family is really going through. Their conversation would go around in circles, and he would explain to her over and over that she was in the hospital. And she would recount again and again how she had provided a good home for her kids in a safe neighborhood near a school with a playground. I wondered about the rest of the family. I wondered about a father. They never mentioned a church. It sounds as if they eked by on love, the genuine love of a family. It was obvious that this son loved his mother and she loved him. He loved her because she first loved him. When the man left the room to go pick up a grandchild at school, he apologized as he walked out past us. I hope we didn't disturb you too much. Of course not. We understood. Genuine love is often found in families, but Paul also talks about genuine love, including hospitality for the stranger. Prior to the pandemic, the women of the ELCA in our North Conference usually had an annual brunch with the women of the Catholic Diocese of Rockford. I'll be anxious to see if that is something that is resumed. The location would alternate between Lutheran church and a Catholic church. Paulette and I have accepted the invitation to attend just as often as we could. It's a pleasant gathering that includes a keynote speech by someone from the Rockford area on a topic of social importance. One year, the brunch was held at Salem Lutheran Church, and the speaker was Carly Rice. She is known throughout the Rockford region as Miss Carly. She has an amazing story to tell. She began her time by telling the story of her life, which includes addiction, life on the streets, and the murder of her mother. She tells her story to provide context and to explain her passion for what she does now. Ms. Carly's Facebook page says, "We are a family in Rockford, Illinois that started feeding people on the streets extra portions we cook at mealtimes." Here a few weeks ago, when the weather got warm, Ms. Carly had between 800 and 1,000 people showing up at her home for food every day. They distribute sandwiches to anyone who is hungry, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no questions asked. Ms. Carly has assembled a small army of volunteers to help her feed the hungry, get people into drug treatment, train others to use Narcan for overdose cases, to rescue trafficked women, and to provide clothing. She saw a need, a huge need, and when she describes what she and her family are trying to do, it's partly a been there, done that, I understand what it's like attitude. But mostly, it's love, genuine love. When she talks about unconditional love, she means it. Ms. Carly does not call what she does ministry. It is, of course. God's hand can be seen in all that she does. With people, few others would be courageous enough to even get to know. I hope she knows God's love. Perhaps she does. She receives a lot of support from local congregations. We love God because God first loved us, right? What does genuine love look like? Eugene Peterson puts it this way in The Message. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. What does genuine love look like when it becomes a characteristic of a congregation? We have survived more than a year of pandemic life. The church did not collapse as some predicted. In fact, God has protected the church and brought us to a new day for a reason. We have a new day to live and love. Right now, the church has an unprecedented opportunity to re-examine its life and mission. We can, and I really feel we must, reimagine who we are as a church and who we can be. We have had 13 congregations in Northern Illinois apply for open door grants. Those are grants from the ELCA for ministries that are new, ideas that have never been tried before. That's exciting, especially since this synod has made innovation a high priority. I think we can recommit ourselves to a vibrant future, not so much rooted in the past as grounded in the love of Jesus. we can recalibrate to make sure we're headed in the right direction. I had a car in which the compass needed to be recalibrated once in a while. And to do so, I would drive to the circle at the end of our street and then drive around in circles there a few times. That would somehow reset the compass. If your congregation was going around in circles and not headed anywhere before the pandemic, now's the time to recalibrate and figure out which way you're going. And in case you don't know, a healthy congregation is always focused outward. It's also time to regroup and maybe reconfigure. Your congregation may look different than it did before. You may have fewer people in church on Sunday morning and a whole new group of people worshiping online. Let's figure out how to make that work. This is an amazing time to be the church. Scary, but amazing. I am praying that the Holy Spirit will blow through the Northern Illinois Synod as never before, so that our congregations, from Rockford to Streeter, from Joliet to Rock Island, from Algonquin to Galesburg, and every little town in between, all of them are changing lives in the name of Jesus, offering authentic welcomes, and practicing genuine love. That's my prayer as we begin this assembly. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. In other words, love Christ, love all. And I'm going to keep saying it, all means all. To you, God's beloved in Northern Illinois, who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.